Do so good. And you know, John is, well, I'm called the disciple who Jesus loved. And they, I mean, imagine just the arguing that would go on of just who's greater, who's greater. And so Jesus enters into this and he does something very profound and he takes off his garment, verse 4. So he got up from the meal, he took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist, and after that he poured water into a basin and he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. So we have to understand the cultural significance of what's going on. Jesus washed his disciples' feet. One by one, he washed them. And so this is just common courtesy, what we do when we have guests. Just like when we have guests today, we'd say, can I get you something to drink? Are you hungry? Can I take your coat? And we usher people into our homes. Back in these days, they would, when somebody came into your house, you would have somebody wash your guest's feet. Now, you have to notice that you as a host would never, never dare have somebody, you would never wash your own guest's feet. Because similar to their society like ours, based on systems and structures of power, and those that have more gifting and power often don't have other people do things for them. It still to this day exists. The more gifted and talented you are, you have others serve. And it's kind of this mindset and culture that doesn't stop. I know it's sad, isn't it? It is sad. It's the world we live in. It's all right. We're family. Kids cry. We're good. Don't worry about it. That we, so there's this structure that's in the society, but Jesus comes and he breaks this. I mean, imagine this. Imagine what you and I, what I want us to enter in, what Jesus is doing. Imagine if, and I was trying to figure out a good example. It's like somebody that comes in and serves, and imagine like the dirtiest job. Maybe it's your toilet. And somebody comes in your house and they say, hey, I'm gonna clean your toilet. And you're like, don't go there. And imagine somebody great. I was trying to think, well, who am I going to use? The president? Some of you would be like, yeah, I want him to scrub my toilet. Or, you know, or the queen or somebody. It's kind of hard to figure out who, imagine whoever that is for you. Who's that position of power? And imagine somebody famous, an athlete, somebody great that you admire, and they come in and they start cleaning your toilet. What we would quickly say, no, you shouldn't do that. I can do that. Or, man, you are an amazing person. Don't come to my home and do that job. That's a dirty job. Yet Jesus is here with his disciples, and he's doing the dirty work. He's taking care of his disciples. And what he does, he goes on to say this. He goes on, verse 13. It says, you call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so. That is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Now, if you're taking notes, that the very first thing that we want to look at is step into greatness by serving. Jesus calls his disciples to serve. So we want to step into greatness by serving. The way you and I become great, the way we make our lives matter, is actually not the way the world tells us to do it. Because the world says you need to climb the corporate ladder, that you need to go and be successful. And really what we come to see is that Jesus wants to redefine the way we view success. He changes it. He flips it upside down. So this morning, I mean, write it in your notes, redefine success. You redefine success by serving, by having God, knowing that God on the in the universe that came to this earth, that he served, that he loved his people. And so the way we become great is by serving, by going low. Now think about this. The way the world defines it, you have to get ahead. Now what I encourage you to do, I mean, go out, be the best you can be. Go be the COO, CFO, CEO, partner of your firm, you know, on the board, at wherever you want to be great, go and be great. But do not do it at the cost of destroying others. Do not do it at the cost, if you own a business, do not have success by putting others low. Are you cutting profits from people? Are you giving fair wages to your employees? Are you taking care of them? Are you loving them? And so what we want us, what Jesus is calling us to do is to step into greatness. I mean, think about it. Harvard Business Review, Forbes Magazine, all these magazines, New York Times bestsellers, all of them are about how to become a great leader. Even in the Christian world, we say, I want to be a servant leader. What about just being a servant? How many books are out there about serving? Jesus says, if you want to be great, if you're going to be first, the first will be last and the last will be first. If you want to be great, be last. If you want to be a leader, serve. How can you serve in this world? So let's look at it. Let's break this down. Serving. Serving that happens in all different ways. But whether you're Christian or not, we all serve. We're called to serve. And so serving isn't a uniquely Christian thing either. There's many people that serve in other religions, but there's something that's very different what Jesus actually calls us to do. Now, let's break down how we actually, people serve in this world. There's three different things. We serve out of compassion, we serve out of guilt, or we serve because we're forced to. Out of compassion, we've talked about a few weeks ago that we serve because we feel moved to. And in fact, when you see stuff on TV, what we often find is that we are moved to serve somebody that is often a lot like us. That we love other people, that we feel moved to take care of people when our needs are, when we feel like that there's something inside of us that needs to be met. I know, and I shared this a few weeks ago, when I had a child and I saw things happen to other children, I got moved more. I noticed that when other children were affected, it made me like, oh man, what a terrible thing. But it made me also think about what would happen if I lost my own children. And so there's something inside of me that's selfish and inside and saying, man, that would be so tragic if I lost my children. Compassion and then guilt. Sometimes we feel guilty and we just want to share some with somebody. We want to take care of others. And so what we do is often we feel like, oh, I have a lot of things. And so I should love other people. And, oh, I feel guilty that I have these things. Or sometimes we're forced to. Have you ever called into a hotline and maybe you were, not hotline, hotline bling, none of that. But you call into like a customer service line, like phone line, and what you're doing is you're upset about something. Maybe it's a bill you belittled this person you shouldn't have. And that person was polite and kind. And why were they? Because they were paid to, right? If they were just having that phone conversation with you, they would have hung up on you a long time ago. They would not have put up through all of your junk. I've been there too, I confess. They wouldn't have put up with all of it, your frustration and why you and your whole universe was changed because somebody forgot or messed up this bill, right? Our whole worlds are changed. But what they're doing is they're forced. They're forced. But here's the thing, whether you believe in Jesus or not, that you and I, that there's something inside of us that calls us to love other people. And if you just believe simply in evolution and that there is no God, actually serving people, altruism, giving towards somebody else when you aren't receiving anything back, it really doesn't make sense. Because you look at it, the survival of the fittest, we shouldn't help the weak. We shouldn't let the weak survive. Yet there's something inside of us that says, I should help the weak. And some scientists and sociologists believe, well, that's so the pack can live on and that we would all grow. But there's something about us that calls us to love other people and help other people even when we don't receive anything back. And so what Jesus is calling us here to is something radical. It transforms our lives. Because look at this. We can often say what Jesus calls us is to serve anybody and everybody. And what he calls us to do is to serve even the least. Look at this scene. Look at who's here. When it says the evening came, the meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas. Jesus washes all of the disciples' feet. He washes all of them. Guess who's included? Judas. Judas is in here. Jesus knows that Judas is going to betray him. He knows that he's going to sell him out so that he would be crucified, all for just a bag of coins. And what does Jesus do? Jesus still washes his feet. And all the disciples are arguing, they're bitter, they're talking about who's going to be the greatest. And what does he do? He washes their feet. I mean, if I was Jesus and I had spent 3 years with the disciples and they're arguing and I'm about to go to the cross, I'd just be like, ah, they don't get it. They don't get it. Why have they learned nothing from me? So the question comes up, well, who? Who do we serve? Jesus tells us, everybody. Even those who betray you. Even those who talk behind your back. Even those who don't get the way you see things. Maybe it's a different political party, or maybe a different upbringing. Jesus calls us to serve everybody. Everybody. Now, who is that one person? Maybe there's somebody in your life that's just, they're getting under your skin. They're annoying you. I want you to serve that person this week. Go ahead. I mean, write it down. If they're sitting next to you, write extra small. Don't let them see. Some of you are like, want to write their names big, right? Like, just boom, like, hey, you see this? Get off. You're driving me nuts this week. Write their name small. But who's that person you need to serve? You need to love them even though they're driving you nuts. Jesus washed all of the disciples' feet, even when they did not get it and they were just simply being, just like all of us, they were just being selfish and self-centered. So who do we love? Who do we take care of? But how? Let's look at different places that we can do this. It can start in your own home. Are you married? How about serving your spouse? Are you living at home with your parents? Serve your parents. I mean, it's do the dishes for spouse or parents or brother, sister, wash their car. I mean, different things. How can you find a way to serve them? It's not, some of you like are going to be awkward and try and wash people's feet. Don't do that. That's not our culture. Jesus is saying wash your feet, but he's teaching a mindset of serving. Don't freak people out, okay? Love them. Take care of them. Find ways to serve even somebody that's driving you nuts. Love them this week. What about your neighbors in your community? Is it maybe picking up their mail or pulling up their trash cans? And don't be passive aggressive. I sometimes forget the trash cans out there, right? And one day I noticed my trash cans were up and I was like, oh man, I forgot to pull them up. Was that a neighbor just like, come on, Rob, get it together? My wife said, she was like, oh, I brought them up because you didn't do your job, you know, knucklehead. But I was like, oh, you know, so love people, but make sure you're not being passive aggressive. Like, I've been telling you to do this, so I'm going to do it for you. But how do you love your neighbors and even your kids? Now, loving your kids is interesting. And this goes out in society, too, because how we serve our children is very important. Sometimes you can try and serve your kids. Maybe they made a mess of your house. And you could quickly clean it up yourself, or you can serve them by getting down and cleaning with them. Don't just enable your children so you're always doing everything. You're serving them just on hands and knees and you don't teach them how to do anything. Same thing goes in the rest of society. Love people, but also enable them. Jesus said, Jesus taught his disciples, he washed their feet. He said, go and do likewise. But notice he also taught them to teach about Jesus. So there was teaching going on. There was acting going on. Don't just serve people blindly. Teach them, but also serve them and love them at all costs. And do that constantly in your homes, in your communities. I know it's painful. It makes me cry too. It's that sermon. But there's a beauty that Jesus invites us into. And what he invites us into, it's great. The other day I was coming into the office and I noticed that I was just, you know, trying to get in and I've got my clothes on, everything, and, you know, ready to go. And I get to my car and I hear my sprinklers running. And I'm looking, and there's no water coming out. And I'm like, what's going on? I look at, pull up the little meter, and I see that thing just spinning. I'm like, oh, shoot. You know, of course, right? I'm trying to get out to work. And sure enough, my neighbor sees that. I'm not, like, dressed for, like, working in the yard. And I'm getting ready to get in the office. And I'm out there, like, looking at the meter, you know, dusting that thing off. And he's like, Rob, can I help you? And, man, I was just like, oh. Somebody that actually knows how to fix something, yes, you know. And so we figured it out right away, but it was just a small little act that he just loved me. And I was like, man, I was trying to get in, and man, I was just so frustrated, but somebody came along and just said, hey, can I help? Man, that changed my morning just by that simple little act. As we get into our rooted material, it's not only our communities that we serve, we want to serve the rest of the world. And so I encourage you to look at that material, because we don't want to just meet our own needs. We want to meet the needs of the world. And so dive into that material. But what I want us to fight against this morning is the second point down, is fighting against self-centeredness by serving. One of the ways you and I can destroy self-centeredness is serving. Because the thing that will prevent you and prevent me from serving is ourselves. It's the kids in the picture. Me, where am I in the picture? What about my life? Because here's the thing, friends, I want to share a little secret with you, is that your life will be miserable if it's all about you. Your life will be just absolutely a wreck. I mean, think about this. My wife and I were out to dinner the other day, and she always gets so embarrassed because if there's a need or something, like, I let the need be known. So I asked, it wasn't like a fancy steak, just like a little flank steak. Is that what they're called, flank steaks, the little skinny ones? Yeah, I see some nods. I think so. But so I asked, they're like, how do you want it done? And I said, you know, kind of medium rare, almost rare. And you know, that's how a steak should be done, right? And as a kid, I liked it like beef jerky. And, you know, you just tear it. It's terrible. I don't know. I've grown. So I asked for it, kind of almost rare, it comes out, and this thing is just, like, toasted. And I'm like, I should say something. I need to say something. And I see some of you nodding, preach, right? And my wife's like, because this was a date, and she was like, don't say anything, you're embarrassing me, you know? And I was like, oh, okay, because I love you, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to eat my beef jerky, you know, as I'm here. But think about it. When somebody, because here's my mindset. I paid for the meal. I told you how to do it. Get it done. I'm not going to pay you for something I didn't ask for. So that's kind of my mindset. And that's okay. That's fine. Go ahead. If your wife's not embarrassed by it, or your date or whatever, go for it. I'll do it every day. They got to get it right, you know? Come on. But if we have that mindset in life that we should always be served, our lives are going to be miserable. Nobody's ever going to get the steak right. Nobody's ever going to do things. And can I get real with us here this morning? Can we do that in church? And in church, we do this more than anywhere. We have this mindset of coming in that we just want to be served. We'll sing songs. Jesus, lead me wherever I'll go. God, use me. I want to be used by you. Then months later, years later, where'd that person go? Oh, they felt used at our church. Ah, they're gone. Or we'll say, God, I want to be a bridge to our city. I want to bring people here, and I just want to connect with our community. And then we'll say, oh, I feel trampled on. I feel walked all over. And yet, it's God calls us to serve, and yet often we'll complain and say, well, it's not this way or that way. But you know the thing that will transform that? What Jesus did, the God of the universe came down to this earth and he changed. He said, I am going to serve, not to be served. And the way he does this is that the word became flesh. And what Jesus is doing, he draws close to the ones he loves. If you're taking notes, that proximity equals passion. With proximity will increase your passion. The closer you get to somebody, the more you will care about their needs. You will come to see, oh, they have this need. When you stay off in a distance, that you can be removed from the needs and you don't care about people. This got played out this week for me. I was asked to come speak at a local school, and so I was excited to be there. But as my week went on, it was just, well, man, I've got a lot to do, and I've got, you know, a church to run and got to get ready, and I have these responsibilities, and they're all right. But what I start to write in the narrative in my head, I'm too important. I've got to do this. I've got to lead a church. And it's really just all, right? These, I'm too important. And so I was convicted of that this weekend. I was like, you know what? No, I got to go. And here, stepping onto this campus, even walking on with our youth pastor, Saquon, and we're there and teaching them to these students. And it wasn't a perfect message, but a handful of them had said, I want to follow Jesus. I've been following another way. And so I was floored because we were talking about the passage when one person turns away from their own ways and begins to follow Jesus, that there's a party going on in heaven. It's Luke 15. And so I was reminded of this. We wanted to stay in the office. And Jesus was like, look, there was a handful of decisions that went from life to death. That there is, I felt like God was saying, Rob, you almost missed out on one of the best parties this week. But you could have been studying. You could have just been kept in your office. God doesn't talk that way. But that's in my mind. I was talking to myself. I could have missed out on an amazing party where students got to choose life over death. Parties were going on in heaven, and yet I was sitting here and I thought I had more important things to do. We can quickly puff up ourselves. But if we don't fight against self-centeredness, the way we do it is by getting close to those that have needs. Proximity equals passion, and then simply by serving. We serve other people. We serve other people at all costs. And now, here's the thing I want us to look at. In the coming weeks, we will be looking at how we're designed and wired by God. And so we'll look at shape and how God's gifted you, but you'll come to realize that you're going to be called to have certain, you're called to do certain things that God hasn't necessarily given you gifts for. So before we even look at how you're designed and wired, you need to know this. Number one is be a servant. The leadership courses, there people say, I want to be a servant leader. What about just a servant? Be a servant. Why worry about being a leader? Be a servant. And then, well, I want to know how I'm wired and designed. Good. Do those things. But serve first. Love even when it hurts. Love even when you don't think you have the gifts for it. I mean, Jesus gives a perfect example of this, doesn't he? He gives an example of walking by somebody that's in a ditch and he says, who is this person's neighbor? The person that loves him. Well, we do that, don't we? It's like somebody's beat up and bruised and be like, well, I hope somebody that has the gift of serving takes care of you. I'm out of here. You know, I hope you're loved. That's not my gifting. I don't really like people that well. I don't take care of people. I'm more of a books person. No, no matter what your strengths are, all of us are called to serve, even in our weakness. You don't have to have a gift to serve. You just put yourself in the right situations, you get close to people in needs, and you serve them. You don't enable them, but you love them, and you empower them, and you give life to them. And that's what Jesus did. He did it to his disciples, and he did this. Man, we could spend all day in this passage. Look at this in John 13, verse 14. Jesus says, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. Notice what he says. He says, Lord and teacher. Lord and teacher. And he says, and these are good things. Back in verse 13, you call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so. That is what I am. That's why we teach here, because we believe that God is our teacher. That's why we read his word. We want to learn from him. But Jesus goes on to say this. He says this, verse 16, very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is his messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you learn about them. If you have another Bible study. No, if you do them. If you serve, you will be blessed. He says, go and do likewise. I am your teacher and Lord. But how many of us just want more teaching? I want another Bible study, another sermon, another podcast on serving. Jesus says, I'm your teacher and Lord, and rightly so. But now you will find blessing when you do them. You will find blessing when you do them. And notice how Jesus came to fight against the self-centeredness. Wait, look at this gem in this passage earlier at the beginning. It says this, as I talked about earlier, 1 through 12 is all the miracles. And then coming to this point, verse 3, it says this, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. This is, Sunday was Jesus' triumphal entry. All things are given to him. And now he can step on the throne. He's the King of Kings. The Bible describes him, he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the beginning, the end, the Alpha, the Omega, the first, the last, the one who is to come. Here he is. All authority has been given to him. And what does he do? He serves. He could have grabbed the throne and ruled with might and ruled with power and forced those who are below him to obey, but he serves. Don't miss this gem that Jesus gives. He says, I set an example before you. Don't let me just be your Lord and teacher. Do as I do. And man, if you're like me, I struggle with that. I'm like my daughter. There's a self-centeredness in me that just says, well, what about me? Where am I on the screen? Where am I in this life? And yet, our lives end up being about ourselves. And Jesus comes to fix that too. He doesn't end with this. He doesn't end with that, but he says this. Peter in verse 6, we'll close with this. He came to Simon Peter and said, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, so pretty much he's saying to him, like, don't wash my feet. How could I be a part of this? And then Jesus says, you do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand. Peter clearly says, you will never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you will have no part with me. Then Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. I love Peter. He's so extreme. He's like, no, you can't be my servant. And Jesus is like, you'll have no part of me. He's like, all right, wash all of me, my armpit, I mean everything. Like, get it. Let's do this. But what Jesus is pointing to here is not just the foot washing. He's talking about a rebirth. He's talking about what he's going to do on Friday the next day. He's talking about going to the cross. And that's why we do baptisms here. It's symbolic, a symbolism of Jesus washing us, making us white as snow. That you and I, we have sin, we have disobeyed God. And he washes us clean. He revives us. And that's why we want to get baptized. If you haven't got baptized, talk to a pastor. Send the office an email. We would love to get you baptized. Because what it symbolizes, what Jesus is talking about, that nobody is clean on their own. That nobody can serve. And let me end this last point. Instead of a to-do list, because people often say, Pastor, give me a to-do list. How do I serve? And I've given some ideas, but instead of a to-do list, what if we had a to-be list? What if we would become servants? Be a servant. This week, don't just talk about serving, serve. Be a servant. Do you see a need? Meet it. Don't wait for somebody else to meet that need. If you can meet it, ask God, God, can I meet this need? And then meet it. I saw a coach this week on the football field. It wasn't his job. There was trash on the field and he's gathering. He could have made the water boy come and do it. But he just picked it up and threw it in the trash. If you see a need, meet it. Someone was out in the quad after the sermon and found some trash and they're like, see, Pastor? It's like, come on, like, let's do this. Let's not wait for somebody. You see a need, meet it. It's not beneath you. God wants to remove our self-centeredness. This world, there's so much pain and hurting in this world. What if we became a people that stopped looking to our own needs and were looking to the needs of others? Imagine how your homes would be transformed. Imagine your marriage, your relationships, your friendships, your communities, your schools. What if we got our eyes off ourselves and got our eyes towards God? This last point I want to end with, and I feel like it's one of the most important. And I feel like somebody needs to hear this morning. Because some of us have said, man, Rob, I'm not a good servant. I'm not a good Christian. I just can't do it. And man, I feel like you're calling me to serve, but I'm miserable at this. Notice this line at the very beginning if you missed it. The second sentence, Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them, what? To the end. Jesus loved them to the end. The disciples didn't get it. Judas was going to betray him. They were arguing about who's the greatest, and instead of belittling them, mocking them, he loved them and he served them. People are belittling you, mocking you, maybe even mocking you for your faith. Love them. Treat them well, because why? You are loved to the end. Jesus says, all that come to me, I will never drive away. Maybe you feel guilty or shame for the ways you don't serve, but know that the Father loves you. Know that Jesus loves you in your imperfections, in your mistakes. You are loved. What better news is there than that, that the God of the universe loves you? You're not perfect, I'm not perfect, but he loves you. He serves you, he prays for you, and he served you ultimately by dying on the cross so that you could be forgiven and brought into relationship with God so you can live a life of love and let it overflow into the city, into your homes. Would you receive that this morning? Would you be washed from head to toe? And there's only one that can do that, and his name is Jesus. But you have to receive it. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for your son. Jesus, we thank you that you drew near to us, that you drew in close. God, we have plenty of needs in this world. We pray for those that are hurting, that are looking for shelter, that lost loved ones. Father, may we meet needs in our cities. Lord, not just our own, but others. Father, maybe some of us this morning that we feel like we've been living a life of self-centeredness. Lord, this is the morning. May this be the morning that we would be washed clean. Lord, that we'd be reminded that you remove all of our filth, all of the junk. And at a step of faith with our eyes closed and our heads bowed, if you feel like you would like to be renewed. Maybe you've been on this path of destruction and dirt and filth, and you want to be washed clean by the blood of Jesus. Would you raise your hand right now? God sees you. God sees you. God sees you. God sees you in the back. God sees you. God sees you. God sees you. Would you be renewed? May you know that Jesus loves you. He loves you and loves you, will love you to the very end. And know, no matter what, he loves you too much to stay the same. He calls you in a life to serve. And so, Father, enable us as a church to serve, even when it hurts. Jesus, it hurt on the cross. Yet you went to the cross so that we could live. Father, may we die so others could live. May we die to ourselves. May we see life, and may we celebrate life. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. know this, that Jesus says, if you come to him, he will never cast out those that come to him. And if you believe in him, that you call him your Lord, your teacher, and your Savior, you trust in him, he will call you his own. And listen to this, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. If you have faith in him, know that you will be loved to the end, no matter what happens. But he also loves you too much to not receive blessing. Receive this blessing. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Go and be a servant. Serve like our wonderful Jesus served. And may you find joy and blessing as you bring that joy and love to our cities, to our homes, to our neighborhoods. Go in that love. Receive that blessing this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.